Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 1. I want to read the passage, and I will get there here in just a minute, from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26 through verse 38. And it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. So the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, this the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." You know, every day, literally thousands, tens of thousands of people pass what we have come to know as the Statue of Liberty. They gaze upon the beauty, the beautiful feminine figure representing liberty and freedom for this great nation of ours. But few realize when they look at this Statue of Liberty that they are actually looking at the sculptor's mother. Frederick Bartholdi chose his mother as the model for the Statue of Liberty because in his life she was a very heroic figure. She was the one who shaped his life. Now her image lights the way for all those who enter New York Harbor. You know, this morning we honor similarly the heroic figures in the lives of our families, in the lives of our children. You may not ever have a statue fashioned after you, such as one like the Statue of Liberty is, but there is no doubt that you have an opportunity to light the way, to light the path of those that God places in your life, those children that God gives you, to shape and direct them to become all that God created them to be. You know, all of that happens with God's help. With God's help, you can influence children to become things that you never imagined that they would be. As we're going to look at in a minute, Mary never imagined what Jesus may have become. But you know what? In our world, there are going to be those children who are raised up and they will become world leaders. There are those who will become devoted school teachers. Those who become caring doctors and nurses. Those who become passionate preachers. Those who become musicians. But most of all, those who become godly leaders in churches across the world. Those men and women who serve where the Lord has placed them. You know, Lyle Schaller, in his book, Understanding Tomorrow, identifies one of the characteristics of our age. And he said one of the characteristics of our age is putting excessive expectations on our institutions. And in particular, he said, two institutions. To a large degree, we as parents have turned much of the raising of our children to two institutions: the school and the church. You know, those two institutions are fine and dandy as they are supposed to be, but they are in supplement. They are not to be the primary ones who carry on the raising of our children. They are to be a supplement. If our children are going to learn to love God, they're going to learn that at home. They're not going to learn that at church as much as they should. They're not going to learn that in school. They're going to learn that at home. That's the primary place. If they're going to learn to pass on faith, if they're going to have our faith passed on to them, then we've got to show them what we believe. If they're going to understand the Word of God, they're going to have to see it lived out in our lives. The greatest teacher that we have is our example. Paul speaks to that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, when he talks of what he had learned from his grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. He said, the sincere faith that you learned, that they showed you, that was passed on to you, her secret to success was that she lived out her faith. As mothers, you've been given the opportunity. You've been specially created, given the charge of influencing lives. Not for a year or two, not for 20 years, honestly, for eternity. What a challenge. What a calling. What an opportunity. But you know, parents, moms and dads both, sometimes get discouraged. And the question comes to us, what can I do? What can you do this morning as a mom to make a difference? This morning, no matter whether your children are 2, whether they're 22, or whether they're 52, I want to share with you some things that every mom has to offer to their children. Number one, the scriptures speak of the powerful influence of encouragement. It's been said, good words are worth much, but they cost little. The wise man Solomon says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. What's he saying? Your words are powerful. They are valuable. They make a difference. A few years ago, a particular man decided to dress up in a Spider-Man suit. It's one of the weirdest stories I've ever heard, but when you hear about it, you understand what he was saying. He dressed up in a Spider-Man suit. He put suction cups on his hands and his feet. And he started to climb one of the largest buildings in the world. When he reached the top, 125 stories, what a nut, 125 stories, the crowd broke into thunderous applause. Also, when he got there, the police and the news reporters were there to meet him. And when they asked him the question, why did you do it? They both had the same question for him. Why did you do it? Here was his answer. I love to hear the applause. You know, there's no doubt that's true for all of us. Encouragement feels good. And at some point in your life, encouragement will be the greatest need, the greatest felt need that your child has. Because right now, they will tell you, psychologists will tell you, the number one problem among our students in junior high and high school is self-esteem. How do you battle self-esteem? You battle it with encouragement. God made moms to be their children's greatest cheerleaders. At some point in their life, you will meet their greatest need when you encourage them. At some point, every person feels like giving up. Hey, sometimes people feel like giving up in their faith. You ever been there? You ever been up to that point? Man, I just don't know. I am so tired. I need encouragement. You know, moms are the greatest encouragers for their children because moms see the best that their children have to offer. I know I can remember many times my mom would say, oh, you can do it. I'd be thinking to myself, no, I can't do it. She'd be saying, you can do anything you want to be. You can be anything you want to be. Your mom ever said that to you? You can be anything you want to be. Words of encouragement. Several years ago, a junior high teacher wrote a letter to Dear Abby. I think this is my favorite thing I've ever read on Mother's Day. A junior high teacher wrote a letter to Dear Abby telling of a remarkable life lesson that she had learned from her students. One day in class, the kids, as they get in sometimes in junior high, they were bickering and fussing, pointing fingers back and forth at one another. And she told them what I have heard many times. She said, put your books up and take out a piece of paper. And you know, when I was in school, put your books up and take out a piece of paper meant you were fixing to get a pop quiz that you really didn't want because you couldn't mind. And so now trouble was coming and she was in a bad mood. And pop quizzes usually went bad. In this case, she told them to put their books up and take out a piece of paper. But instead of giving them a pop quiz, here's what she did. She said, I want you to write down the name of every student in this classroom. So they all wrote down the names. She put that on the left side of the paper. And she said, now on the right side of the paper, I want you to write down something good about the person. You write their name and then out beside it, you write something good about it. So that was their assignment for that day. And so over the weekend, the teacher took that list home, and she compiled her own list and gave it out on Monday. She gave each student a list of all the good comments shared by their classmates. Said the room was buzzing with whispers and comments that students were unable to believe that others found so much good in them. Years later, years went and passed, and years later, that math teacher attended the service of one of those students, a student who happened to have been killed on the battlefield serving the country. And at that service, the young man's parents approached the teacher and said, "We want to show you something that Mark was carrying with him when he was killed." The father pulled out a crumpled piece of paper from his wallet. And on that piece of paper was that long ago assignment. Parents said, "Our son has always treasured those encouraging words." Who doesn't? Who doesn't like to have someone appreciate them? No one is better at appreciating children than our moms. You're beautiful. You're so smart. You're such a hard worker. You mean so much to me. I don't know what I'd do without you. All those are words that children and young people love to hear. How often do we build them up with words of encouragement? It's something that costs nothing, but it's absolutely priceless in its value. Moms, you've been given the opportunity to give them the gift of encouragement. It's a gift that you offer so much better than anybody else. The second gift that you have to offer, we see in the passage this morning, is the gift of faith. You have faith to offer. You know, look at this passage. How does faith begin? You can see in here, let's look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, to answer that. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, the angel greeted Mary and said, "You are truly blessed. The Lord is with you, Mary." And it says Mary was confused by the angel's words and wondered what they meant. What was she confused by? She was confused by two things that also confuse us. Number one, she was confused by who she was. She didn't understand who she was. And secondly, she was confused because she doesn't understand who God is. Why do I say that? Because here's what she said. The angel said, "You are truly blessed, hail favored ones." That was a greeting that was meant for only people wearing robes. The people wearing robes would be your kings and your priests. And yet this angel comes to her and says, "Hail favored ones." I'm sure she didn't feel like a favored one at that moment. It didn't fit Mary's picture of herself. You know, something, God's plan for our lives is often bigger and significant than our own plans for our life. God's got a plan for your life that right now you probably don't understand how it all fits together. Because God's, you know, the day-to-day grind that we live in, sometimes we lose the importance of it all. But you see, God sees it over a long period of time, and God knows what He's preparing us for. God's plan for our life is bigger. In all likelihood, we may not understand it. Mary didn't understand it. Mary, it says, she was perplexed. It leads to confusion, uncertainty. Sometimes we don't know if we can live up to what God's plan for our life are. We may know what we ought to be doing, and sometimes we don't live up to it because we're confused by it. You know, if you want to have a deep and genuine faith at some point, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to ask God some questions. Because you're not ever going to understand life on your own. All biblical people of faith, at some point or another, they ask God questions. Moses asked questions. God said, "Go back to Egypt." Moses said, "Who am I? Why me?" Paul asked questions. Mary asked questions. Look in chapter 1 here, verse 34. Mary asked the angel, "How can I have a baby? I'm a virgin." That's a good question, isn't it? A very good question. The question is what led her to faith, though. Trusting God is often when we come face to face with the impossible. When you start asking those questions, God starts working. For the answer to Mary, read down a little bit, the answer to Mary still helps our faith today. For nothing is impossible with God. Remember that. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary discovered that God can make the impossible possible. Any of you ever take college statistics? We didn't have any college statistics takers here? One or two? Okay. Now I see a few hands going up. You know, what would the odds be for a virgin having a baby? That would be zero except for this one case. And what we see here is God says to Mary, for nothing is impossible with God. What does that say to Mary and her questions? God had answers. Let me tell you something. Moms, let your children see you trust God. Let your children see you pray. Speak words of faith into their life. The profession of faith that Mary had and made meant she would see greater things. You can see, as we trust God in this area, we begin to see God do greater things in this area. And pretty soon, we aren't even amazed at God anymore because we know that nothing is impossible with God. But it starts here with this simple act of faith, this simple trust. Faith would lead Mary and Joseph to trusting God, going to Egypt. Sometimes faith leads to problems. Just because Mary had faith didn't mean she's never going to have any more problems. Just because you have faith doesn't mean you're going to not have problems. But what it does mean is in the midst of those problems, you learn to trust God. And you learn, and your children see you trusting God, and they trust God. You know, it wasn't easy to have Jesus for a son. The Bible says he was perfect. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus had his own agenda. Remember that day they're all leaving and they're looking for their son? Where in the world is he? Well, he's back. He's back doing the Father's business. You know, the question isn't whether you'll have problems if you live by faith. The question is, which set of problems do you want to live with? Do you want to live with the kind that go with faith, or do you want to live with the kind that don't go with faith? Like selfishness and pride. Which kind of problems do you want to live with? I'd rather live with the ones that go with faith, because you know with those problems that go with faith come significance. We trust God through the problems. He grows us even through the problems. The Bible says in John chapter 19, 23, the biggest problem of all when I read the story of Mary and her relationship with Jesus, near the cross stood his mother. Moms, put yourself in that position for a minute. Can you imagine what it would feel like to watch your son being crucified? Near the cross stood his mother. I can't imagine the emotions of Mary in those moments. Her faith broke her heart that day. In this world, you know what? Your heart's going to be broken by some things. Faith leads to a heart that's broken by what God really cares about. A heart broken by our own sin. A heart broken by the needs of others. But that's all right. That's pleasing to God. What breaks his heart ought to break our heart. You know what, moms? Sometimes your heart's going to be broken. And if your children see your heart broken, let them see it broken over the things of God. Out of Mary's broken heart, something grew. The church started. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 18, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The new church had started. And they're sitting there celebrating who Jesus is. Don't you think that made Mary smile? That's my son. You know, the life of faith for Mary began the day that she said, I am the Lord's servant. Be it done to me as you have said. Moms, when you start off on that journey and you're trying to lead your children to Christ, you're trying to lead them to grow in Christ, it starts with that statement, I am the Lord's servant. This morning, are you the Lord's servant? Do you want more than anything for your children to see Christ in you? Because they're not going to see it in the schools. They're not going to see it in the government. They're not going to see it in church like they ought to. They're going to see it most of all in moms and dads. In a life of faith. Mom, do you have that kind of faith? Are you God's instrument in the life of your family? A mom is a lighthouse of faith. She's an encourager to her family. And finally, she is the greatest demonstration of sacrificial love. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. You know what I've come to believe and see is in most homes, no one sacrifices like a mom. She's a true Proverbs 31 lady that talks about where, you know, you see her doing all the things, the cleaning, the washing, the chauffeuring kids, the tending to sick children. It says in Scripture, she looks well to the ways of her household. Nothing means more to a mom than her kids. I've heard moms say that. Nothing means more to me than my kids. Well, the Proverbs 31 lady is a demonstration of a lady who nothing means more to her than her family. It says, the heart of her husband does trust her and on her rely. She's a loving woman in every sense, putting others' needs ahead of her own. Stories told of a second grade teacher. This second grade teacher gave her kids a lesson on magnets. Spent one class period teaching them about magnets, how they work and what they do. Well, the next day the kids come into class and up on the blackboard there are several questions. It's been a while, so they have blackboards. Up on the blackboards they write, my name has six letters. The first letter is M and I pick up things. What am I? The teacher took those papers home, graded them. And when she graded those papers, she was astonished to find that nearly half the kids forgot about the magnets and wrote mother as an answer to the question. You know, the job may seem endless at times, but the goal at the end of the day is worthwhile. To raise children who follow in the footsteps of a sincere faith. That's the goal, isn't it? Because you see, that sincere faith doesn't just affect them the day that they pray to receive Christ and become a Christian. That sincere faith affects them from now till the day we walk the streets of heaven with Jesus. 10,000 years upon 10,000 years is the difference that moms have the opportunity to make. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. The greatest engineer on that training is you, Mom. You make a difference through your encouragement, through your faith, and through your love. But I'm going to say this, even moms need help. Moms can't do it alone. You may be Superwoman, or you may not be Superwoman. But either way, you need help. And you know what? God is there to help you. The Bible tells us that he's there to strengthen us. He is our rock and our refuge, our strength in time of need. You know, there's times that moms need help. Our help comes from above. This morning, if you're here, Mom, and the problems in your life seem bigger than the answers in your life, there's help. You've got to turn it over to the Lord. During our invitation time this morning, maybe there's situations in your life, in your family's life, that maybe you need to come and pray at this altar. Maybe someone needs to come and pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you just, the burden is so great you need to turn it over to the Lord and say, God, I can't carry this alone. Guess what? You don't have to. But I encourage you to keep on serving, keep on being faithful. The problems come, but you know what? With God, nothing is impossible. Allow him to work in your life in a greater way than he's ever worked before. Like Mary, say, Lord, I am your servant. Be it done to me as you desire. Would you pray with me? Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, I pray for you to speak to our hearts. Nothing gives greater joy, nothing gives greater pain than situations in the family. Lord, I thank you for moms who are great examples of love and encouragement and faith. There are so many here like that today. God, I pray that you would continue just to use them and help them as they journey through life to be that example for their children. Lord, there's some today that situations are harder, more difficult. And God, in those times, we pray for your help and your strength and your wisdom, your discernment. Lord, this morning, there may be some here today who need to trust you as Savior. Maybe a child whose mom's been talking to him about salvation or dad's been talking to him about salvation. They just hadn't made that decision. Maybe today is the day they need to ask you to become their Lord and their Savior. Lord, as we sing this hymn of invitation, may we trust you completely. May we turn it over to you, because you know you're able to do so much more than we are able to. We ask this in Jesus' name.